James Helm in Dublin. Spaniards are at odds again over a proposal to give more self-rule to the wealthy and powerful region of Catalonia and its capital, Barcelona. A final decision on the plan is due later this year, but its critics, and many of them are in the capital, Madrid, say that giving Barcelona more autonomy will jeopardise Spanish unity. Nick Caister says the anger in Madrid comes as no surprise to Catalonians. There's been friction between the two for hundreds of years.
It's been snowing in Catalonia. In the vineyard south of Barcelona, you can almost see the black vine stump shivering. The hills up behind the city are blanketed in white, which makes the Mediterranean down below seem even bluer. Eduardo, a Catalan writer friend of mine, has brought me to the top of the mountain called Tibidabo to admire the view. He explains the legend behind its name, which means, "All this I give you." The Catalans claim this has a biblical origin. It was here that the devil brought Jesus to tempt him with all the riches of the earth if he renounced his faith. Ever since, the rest of the world, and in particular the Spaniards elsewhere in the country, have been jealous of all that Catalonia has to offer. Nowhere is there more jealousy, they say, than in the Spanish capital, Madrid, which has no sea, no mountains, but most of the political power. For 40 years during the Franco regime, Catalonia was made to suffer. The Catalan language was forbidden in schools and in the street. Catalan political organisations were banned, and the organised labour movement, that was still strong in Barcelona, suffered violent repression. Catalonia had a military governor appointed from Madrid, and troops from the rest of Spain were stationed there. After the return of democratic rule in the 1970s, Catalonia, like other regions of Spain, was given a statute of autonomy. This allowed the Catalans to appoint their own police force and created a national assembly with powers to decide judicial, health and educational matters. The Catalan language was officially recognised once more and taught again in schools. The Spanish Socialist Party returned to power in 2004, while at the same time a left-wing coalition won a majority in the Catalan Assembly. Barcelona pushed for a new and wider statute of autonomy, and the regional assembly voted for this new statute by an overwhelming majority. This would not only give it greater powers of taxation, but would acknowledge that Catalonia is a separate nation. The legislation was then sent to Madrid for consideration by the National Parliament, which also approved it late last year. This was too much for many on the right of Spanish politics. In January this year, the head of the army, General Mena Aguado, told fellow officers that if Catalonia was to declare its independence, this meant that Spanish troops had the right to invade it to defend Spanish interests there. My friend Eduardo told me that when his grandmother heard this, she started stocking up with tinned food and other supplies in case Barcelona was blockaded, as it had been 70 years ago. Most Catalans did not go to such extremes, but were genuinely horrified at the knee-jerk authoritarian reaction still prevalent in some of Spain's key institutions. General Mena was immediately sacked, but the damage had been done. Right-wing politicians, though, jumped on the bandwagon, thinking that this kind of nationalism might be a new rallying point after their defeat in elections almost 2 years ago. Some of the Spanish press even called for a boycott of Catalan goods, such as their cava or champagne, as well as agricultural produce and industrial goods. The conflict between the Catalan authorities and central Spain also surfaced in another recent confrontation. At the end of the Civil War, General Franco ordered a huge investigation into anyone who could be considered an opponent of his regime, from communists to folk dancers. All the files on these people have been stored ever since in Salamanca. When the Catalan authorities demanded the return of these records recently, the High Court at first dismissed the idea, although this too was rectified later. The main argument employed was the one always heard. If we allow the Catalans to do it, where will it end? The Basques, the Galicians, will all want the same treatment. To which my Catalan friends reply, so what? The next morning in Barcelona, all the snow had gone and the sky seemed to promise spring. I went with my friends to have lunch in one of the small restaurants that have somehow survived all the attempts to smarten up the city for the 1992 Olympics and the new millennium. Over our typical Catalan meal, starting with bread smeared with tomato, followed by fried Catalan fish, Catalan vegetables and meat, and ending with Catalan custard, My companions laughed at the idea that the recognition of the new statute would cause real trouble with Madrid. They took the quarrel back, not just 70 years to the Civil War, but shrugged their shoulders and said, "The Spaniards have been envious of us for 800 years at least. Let them get on with it."
And with Nick Caister in Barcelona testing public opinion and, of course, the food, we've reached the end of another edition. We'll have more from our own correspondents next Saturday morning. Do join us then. Goodbye.
From Our Own Correspondent was presented by Bridget Kendall and produced by Tony Grant.